Ever fantasized about cruising down a desert highway?
Oh, yeah.
Wind in your hair? Nevada sun on your face?
Absolutely.
Snap out of it. Today's deep dive is all about keeping you safe and savvy on those Nevada roads, especially if the unexpected happens.
Right.
Like a fender bender.
Exactly. What's particularly interesting about Nevada is that it's a fault state when it comes to car accidents.
Okay.
That means someone is assigned blame, and that has big implications for who pays for the damages.
So right off the bat, how is this fault thing different from those no-fault states I hear about?
Great question.
Yeah.
In a fault state, the person who is deemed responsible for causing the accident is liable for the costs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a no-fault state, your own insurance would cover your damages regardless of who caused the crash.
Interesting.
But Nevada adds a layer of complexity.
Oh, I'm intrigued. What's the Nevada twist?
Here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Even if you're partially at fault in Nevada, up to 50%, you can still recover damages.
Hold on. Let me get this straight.
Okay.
Say I'm making a right turn and I get rear-ended.
Yep.
But hypothetically, I didn't fully check my blind spot.
Precisely.
Yeah.
In that scenario, the other driver hitting you from behind would likely be considered mostly responsible.
Right.
Even though you might have played a small part.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But who makes the call on who's at fault? Is it like a Judge Judy situation?
Not quite as theatrical, but there is an investigation.
Okay.
Insurance companies are the main players.
Mm-hmm.
They sift through police reports, witness testimonies, photos, even mechanic assessments to build a picture of what happened.
So basically, insurance adjusters are the Sherlock Holmes of car accidents.
You could say that.
Uh-huh.
And this brings up a crucial point.
Right.
If you're ever in an accident in Nevada, resist the urge to chat with the other driver's insurance adjuster without your lawyer.
Really? Why is that?
Yeah. It
seems harmless enough.
Anything you say, even seemingly casual remarks, can be used against you later on. Best to let your legal representative handle those conversations.
Solid advice.
Yeah.
We've got this fault system, insurance detectives on the case. What else makes Nevada's approach stand out?
This is where Nevada's modified comparative negligence rule comes into play.
Okay.
Think of it as a 50% threshold for getting damages.
Mm.
If you're deemed more than 50% at fault, you're out of luck.
So 50% or less, I'm good.
Right.
More than that, I'm on my own.
Yeah.
Black and white like that.
Exactly. And this is quite different from, say, California's pure comparative negligence system.
Help me out here.
Sure.
What's that all about?
Imagine you were 99% at fault in an accident in California.
Okay.
You could still potentially recover 1% of your damages.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about a different approach.
Right.
So Nevada's a bit stricter, you could say?
Yeah, a bit stricter.
But let's say I am in an accident and I'm not considered more than 50% at fault.
Okay.
How do I actually get the money I'm entitled to?
There are three main routes you can take. You can file a claim with your own insurance company, file a claim with the other driver's insurance, or if needed, file a lawsuit.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah.
Having a lawyer seems like a smart move no matter what.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Remember, insurance companies are businesses.
Right.
Their goal is to minimize payouts.
Of course.
A lawyer can guide you through the process and advocate for a fair settlement.
Now, let's talk about a common worry.
Okay.
Even if you're not at fault. Could your insurance rates go up after an accident? Is that a concern, Nevada?
Not if you're less than 50% at fault.
Oh.
In those cases, your insurance premiums usually remain unaffected.
That's good to know.
Right.
But what about those minor accidents?
Yeah.
You know, a little bump, a scratch on your bumper?
Uh-huh.
Can you even sue for something that small?
Believe it or not, you can.
Right.
Nevada law allows lawsuits for even seemingly minor damages.
Interesting.
It really reinforces the idea that actions have consequences no matter how small.
So even a little fender bender could end up in court.
It's possible, yes.
Wow.
Again, this is where Nevada differs from some no-fault states,
okay,
which often have a minimum damage threshold to even file a lawsuit.
So there are definitely pros and cons to each system.
Right.
But let's get practical.
Okay.
What insurance coverage do I absolutely need to drive in Nevada?
Nevada, of course, has minimum insurance requirements.
Mm-hmm.
You need at least $25,000 per person for bodily injury, $50,000 per accident for bodily injury,
okay,
and $20,000 for property damage.
Got it.
Yep.
But I have a feeling you're going to tell me that's not really enough.
You're catching on.
Uh-huh.
Those are just the bare minimums required by law. Accidents can result in serious injuries and significant costs.
Yeah.
Having more than the minimum coverage is always a good idea.
More is better.
Yeah.
What else should I be thinking about?
Consider adding MedPay to your policy.
Okay.
Also known as medical payments coverage.
MedPay, I'm not familiar with that one. What is it?
It's an optional coverage that helps pay for your medical expenses after an accident, regardless of who's at fault.
Oh, interesting.
So even if it's a minor fender bender and you need some physical therapy,
uh-huh.
MedPay can help cover those costs.
That sounds super helpful.
Yeah.
I'm noticing a theme here.
Okay.
Be prepared for anything.
Exactly. You never know what might happen on the road.
Speaking of unexpected costs, when we talk about damages in these situations, what exactly does that include?
Yeah.
Is it just fixing the car, or are there more to it?
Damages in a car accident case can be both economic and non-economic.
Okay.
Economic damages are straightforward to calculate.
Huh.
Things like medical bills, lost wages due to injury,
mm-hmm.
and the cost of repairing your car.
So the things you can get a receipt for?
Precisely.
Okay.
But non-economic damages are a bit trickier to put a price tag on.
Yeah.
These encompass things like pain and suffering.
Right.
Emotional distress, and the impact on your quality of life.
How do you even begin to put a dollar figure on pain and suffering?
It's not easy, but it's important.
Yeah.
Imagine dealing with chronic back pain from the accident.
Oh, yeah.
Which affects your sleep, your work, your ability to enjoy your hobbies.
Right.
That has a real impact, and it deserves to be acknowledged in compensation.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot here. Fault versus no fault.
Uh-huh.
Nevada's unique rules, the importance of insurance.
Right.
It's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
But let's say the worst does happen.
Okay.
And I find myself in an accident in Nevada.
Right.
What are the absolute must-do things right there in the moment?
Here are five crucial steps to remember.
Okay.
First, stay at the scene unless it's unsafe to do so.
Got it.
Second, call for help both medical and police.
Mm-hmm.
Third, document everything. Take pictures, videos.
Mm-hmm.
Get witness information.
Right.
Fourth, do not admit fault, even if you think you might be in the wrong.
Okay.
And finally, get yourself a lawyer. Legal representation is key to navigating this process effectively.
Let me make sure I've got those five crucial steps for our listeners.
Okay.
Stay at the scene if safe.
Yep.
Call for help.
Uh-huh.
Document everything.
That's right.
Don't admit fault.
Yeah.
And lawyer up.
You got it.
Those are the essentials.
They are.
It's like a mental checklist for peace of mind.
Absolutely.
After all, knowledge is power, especially when dealing with something as potentially stressful as a car accident.
That's true.
So we've gone from zero to informed about Nevada's car accident laws.
That's right. You should be proud of how much we've covered.
I feel like I aced a pop quiz on Nevada car accidents.
I have no doubt about that.
Before we move on, is there anything else our listeners should keep in mind about navigating car accidents?
Mm-hmm.
Not just in Nevada, but anywhere.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
No matter where you are, being prepared is key.
Okay.
Familiarize yourself with the laws in your state.
Uh-huh.
Ensure you have adequate insurance coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're ever unsure, reach out to a legal professional for guidance.
Sage advice.
A
little knowledge can go a long way on the road.
It certainly can.
Well, this deep dive has certainly given us a lot to think about.
It has.
And it's not just about the mechanics of the law, but also about personal responsibility and the ripple effects of our actions on the road.
I agree.
It's been a fascinating exploration. I love how we're connecting the dots between the legal details and the bigger picture of human behavior.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that learning isn't just about memorizing facts. It's about understanding the world around us.
You said it.
All right, folks. It's time to bring this part of our deep dive to a close.
Okay.
But before we go, I want to leave you with a question to ponder.
All right.
We've discussed how Nevada's fault-based system aims to hold drivers accountable.
Right.
But does that actually translate into safer driving habits? Does knowing you could be held financially responsible make you more cautious behind the wheel?
That's a good question.
Or are there other factors at play, like personal values or the fear of getting hurt, that have a greater impact on our behavior? Something to think about as you navigate the roads wherever they may lead you.
That's a thought-provoking question to wrap up this segment of our deep dive.
Thanks for joining us. Remember, knowledge is power, especially when it comes to staying safe and informed on the road.
It is.
Until next time.
See you then. It really is fascinating to consider how the legal framework of a state can influence driver behavior.
It's like a giant social experiment playing out on the highways and byways.
Exactly. And speaking of those Nevada highways,
yeah,
let's shift gears a bit.
Okay.
And dive into a crucial aspect of being prepared for any driving scenario.
Right.
Understanding the types of damages you might encounter in a car accident.
Okay, let's unpack that.
Sure.
We touched on economic and non-economic damages earlier.
Right.
But I think a little more detail would be helpful for our listeners.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's start with economic damages. These are the more concrete, easily quantifiable costs associated with an accident.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking medical bills, vehicle repairs,
mm-hmm.
lost wages if you're unable to work due to your injuries.
Right.
Things that have a clear price tag.
So essentially, if you can show a receipt for it,
yeah,
it falls under economic damages.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Now, non-economic damages are a bit trickier to pin down.
Right.
These are the less tangible,
uh-huh.
but equally important impacts of an accident.
And pain and suffering, right?
Exactly.
But how do you put a dollar amount on something like that?
That's where things get complex.
Yeah.
Imagine you're dealing with chronic pain from the accident.
Okay.
Limiting your mobility, mm-hmm. disrupting your sleep, okay. affecting your overall quality of life.
Right.
These are real impacts that deserve to be acknowledged and compensated for,
yeah.
even though they don't have a neat price tag like a hospital bill.
I'm starting to see why having a lawyer is so important in these cases. They can help make sense of all this and advocate for you effectively.
Precisely.
Yeah.
A skilled attorney can gather evidence,
mm-hmm.
consult with experts,
uh-huh.
and present a compelling case to demonstrate the full extent of your non-economic damages.
So it's not just about arguing about who's at fault.
Right.
It's also about accurately representing the true impact of the accident on your life.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And this is especially crucial in Nevada, where the fault system can lead to more contested claims.
Right.
After all, the more you're deemed at fault,
uh-huh.
the less compensation you're likely to receive.
This all makes me think back to that 50% rule we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
How does that actually play out in real-world settlements?
Let's say you're involved in an accident with $10,000 in damages.
Okay.
Under Nevada's modified comparative negligence rule.
Mm-hmm.
If you found 50% at fault,
right.
you could still potentially recover $5,000.
Interesting.
However, if your fault is determined to be even 51%,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't receive anything.
Wow, that's a pretty stark difference.
It is.
It really highlights how that 50% threshold is a make or break point in Nevada's system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a key distinction from states with pure comparative negligence systems.
Right.
Where even if you were 99% at fault,
yeah.
you could theoretically still receive some compensation.
This is all incredibly insightful.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing how much we're learning about the nuances of car accident law.
It really is.
All thanks to this deep dive.
It's a testament to the power of knowledge, especially when it comes to navigating complex situations like this.
So we've covered fault, damages, the 50% rule.
Uh-huh.
What other essential knowledge do we need to equip our listeners with?
Let's talk about insurance.
Okay.
Specifically, what it means to have adequate coverage in Nevada,
mm-hmm.
and why going beyond the legal minimums can be a lifesaver.
That's a great point. We did touch on the minimum insurance requirements in Nevada.
Yeah.
But I think a deeper dive into coverage types and limits would be incredibly beneficial for our listeners.
You're right.
Okay.
While meeting those minimums is legally required, they might not be enough to protect you financially if you're involved in a serious accident.
Right.
Remember, those minimums are just that minimums.
Uh-huh.
And they might not cover all the costs you could face.
Okay. So more is better. Got it.
That's right.
But what specific types of coverage should people be looking at?
Let's break it down.
All right.
Besides the mandatory liability coverage for bodily injury and property damage,
mm-hmm.
there are some optional coverages that are highly recommended.
Okay.
One we mentioned earlier is MedPay or medical payments coverage.
Right. That's the one that helps cover your medical bills regardless of fault.
Exactly.
Can you remind us why that's so valuable?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Imagine you have a high deductible on your health insurance.
Okay.
If you're injured in an accident.
Right.
Even a minor one.
Yeah.
Those medical bills can add up quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
MedPay can help bridge the gap
uh-huh.
and prevent you from having to pay a huge sum out of pocket.
So it's like an extra layer of protection for your finances.
Exactly. Another important coverage to consider is uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage.
Mm-hmm.
This protects you if the other driver involved in the accident doesn't have insurance
yeah.
or doesn't have enough to cover your damages.
That's a scary thought.
It is.
You're cruising along, following all the rules, and suddenly you're hit by someone who doesn't even have insurance.
It happens.
That could be financially devastating.
It absolutely could be.
Wow.
Uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage ensures that you're not left high and dry in such situations.
Right.
It helps cover your medical expenses and other costs, even if the other driver can't.
So it's like having a backup plan for when the unexpected happens.
Exactly. And when it comes to driving in Nevada, or anywhere for that matter, having a backup plan is never a bad idea.
All of this talk about insurance and coverage types is really making me think about the financial stakes involved in car accidents.
It's true.
Yeah.
Car accidents can have far-reaching financial consequences.
Uh-huh.
And having the right insurance coverage can make a huge difference in your ability to recover and move forward.
It's starting to see why people say insurance is one of those things you don't want to skimp on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's an investment in your financial security and peace of mind.
So we've talked about the different types of damages,
mm-hmm.
the importance of having adequate insurance coverage.
Right.
Is there anything else we should cover before we wrap up this deep dive?
You know, I think it would be helpful to spend a few minutes talking about what happens after an accident.
Okay.
Specifically, those crucial steps to take in those first few moments when emotions are running high and it's easy to feel overwhelmed.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
We briefly touched on those five crucial steps earlier.
I did.
But I think it's worth revisiting them in more detail.
I agree.
Okay.
Let's start with step one.
All right.
Stay at the scene unless it's unsafe to do so.
Okay.
Leaving the scene of an accident. Especially if there are injuries or property damage.
Yeah.
Can have serious legal consequences.
It's natural to want to flee in a moment of panic.
Right.
But it's crucial to stay put.
It is.
Assess the situation and ensure everyone's safety.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of safety,
right.
Step two is to call for help.
Okay.
This means calling 911 to report the accident
mm-hmm.
and request medical attention if needed.
Okay.
Even if you think your injuries are minor, it's always best to get checked out by a medical professional.
That's such an important point.
Yeah.
Adrenaline can mask pain, and what seems like a minor injury at first could turn out to be something more serious later on.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, that's scary.
It's always better to err on the side of caution.
For sure.
Now, step three is all about documentation.
Okay.
Take photos and videos of the accident scene,
mm-hmm.
including damage to vehicles,
uh-huh.
road conditions,
yeah.
and any visible injuries.
So basically become a crime scene photographer for a few minutes.
Exactly. The more evidence you gather, the better.
Okay.
And don't forget to get contact information from any witnesses who might have seen the accident.
Right.
Their testimony could be invaluable later on.
Okay, so stay at the scene.
Yes.
Call for help.
Uh-huh.
Document everything.
That's right.
What's next?
Step four is crucial.
Right.
Do not admit fault.
Gotcha.
Even if you think you might have been partially responsible.
Yeah.
It's best to avoid making any statements about fault to anyone other than the police and your lawyer.
That's a tough one.
It is.
In the heat of the moment, it's easy to blurt out.
It is.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It was all my fault.
Right.
But I guess those words can come back to haunt you later.
They absolutely can.
Oh, wow.
Remember, insurance companies and lawyers will scrutinize every word you say.
Yeah.
It's best to let the investigation unfold and allow your legal representation to handle any discussions about fault.
This is all making me realize how important it is to stay calm and collected in those first few minutes after an accident.
It's definitely a challenge, but keeping a cool head can help you navigate the situation more effectively and protect your rights.
Okay, we've covered four steps.
Yes, we have.
What's the final and perhaps most important step?
You guessed it.
Okay.
Get yourself a lawyer.
It seems like in any situation that's good legal advice.
It often is.
Having legal representation is crucial in any car accident case.
Right.
Especially in a fault state like Nevada, where the stakes can be high. I'm sensing a theme here.
Uh-huh.
When in doubt, lawyer up.
That's usually a safe bet.
But seriously, why is legal representation so crucial in these situations?
A lawyer can guide you through the entire process,
mm-hmm.
from filing insurance claims to negotiating settlements
yeah.
to potentially representing you in court if necessary.
Oh.
They can help protect your rights,
mm-hmm.
gather evidence,
okay.
and ensure you receive fair compensation for your damages.
So they're like your advocate and your navigator through the often complex world of car accident law.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
They can help level the playing field and ensure you're not taken advantage of by insurance companies or other parties involved.
This has been such an informative deep dive.
It has been.
We've learned so much about Nevada's fault system, types of damages,
mm-hmm.
insurance coverage, and those crucial steps to take after an accident.
Yeah.
I feel much more prepared for whatever the road might throw my way.
Me too. It's amazing how a little knowledge can empower us to handle challenging situations with more confidence and clarity.
Before we move on to our final thoughts,
okay,
is there anything else you think our listeners should keep in mind about car accidents?
You know, beyond all the legal and practical aspects we've discussed, mm-hmm. there's one more thing I'd like to emphasize.
Right.
The human element.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in the legalities and the financial aspects.
It is.
But at the end of the day, car accidents involve real people with real emotions and real lives that are impacted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And while we've focused on Nevada's fault-based system, it's important to remember that assigning blame isn't always about punishing someone.
Right.
It's also about acknowledging the impact of actions and ensuring that those who have been harmed receive the support they need to recover and move forward.
I love how you're bringing it back to the human side of things.
It's important to remember that.
It's a powerful reminder that empathy and understanding are just as important as legal knowledge when navigating these challenging situations.
Well said.
And I think that's a perfect segue into our final thoughts for this deep dive.
It is.
Absolutely. I'm ready to wrap things up and leave our listeners with some food for thought. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Nevada's car accident laws, I'm left with a lingering question.
Okay.
We've explored how Nevada's fault-based system aims to make drivers more accountable for their actions.
Right.
But does it really work that way?
That's a good question.
Does the knowledge that you could be held financially responsible truly lead to more cautious driving?
That's a great question, and it's one that researchers have been grappling with for years. Yeah.
There's no easy answer.
Okay.
Some studies suggest that fault-based systems might contribute to a slight decrease in accidents.
Interesting.
While others show no significant impact.
So it's not as simple as saying,
right,
fault equals fewer accidents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Human behavior is complex.
Right.
And there are so many factors at play when we get behind the wheel.
Sure.
Stress, distractions, fatigue, even just plain bad luck.
Yeah.
These can all contribute to accidents regardless of the legal system in place.
It makes you wonder if there's a perfect system out there.
Right.
Or if it's always going to be a balancing act between individual responsibility and recognizing that accidents do happen.
That's a really insightful point.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think that's what makes this deep dive so valuable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about memorizing laws and regulations.
Right.
It's about sparking a deeper conversation about how we share the road, the consequences of our actions.
Oh. And how we can all contribute to a safer driving environment.
I love that perspective.
Yeah.
So as we bring this episode to a close,
okay,
what's the one key takeaway you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Knowledge is power. The more you understand about the rules of the road,
right,
the better equipped you'll be to navigate challenging situations.
Okay.
So whether you're cruising through Nevada or driving in your own state,
yeah,
remember to stay informed,
stay
safe, and stay curious.
Well said.
Yay.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
It was my pleasure.
Until next time, drive safe and stay informed.
See you then.